right, good evening, good to see this good crowd out tonight. Let's go ahead and get started. Page 269.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I might be so happy as homeward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
All right, let's do page 125.
Whisper sweet and low. In all I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Hears me singing as I go. My heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, saved the stumbling chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Is my every longing, is me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Is my
I guess you noticed Brother Adam's not here tonight. He is on a business trip to Texas, so y'all keep him in your prayers. Brother John Dale is going to be preaching for us tonight, so y'all pray for him. Let's remember all these on the prayer list. Sister Megan, it's good to see her here tonight. Continue to pray for Brother Al and Sister Margaret, and who else am I missing? Brother Jeff? Good. And I'm not writing these down. I don't know if anybody else is, but make sure you put them on that list out in the best of you. Anybody else got a prayer? Anybody else? Aiden? Okay, remember that. Anybody else? If nobody else, let's all just come down to the altar and have a word of prayer. Brother John Chavron, would you come up and lead us in prayer? And all everybody just come down and pray for these.
Lord, as we bow, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, and our salvation, Lord, and the good news about our little brother that's got saved last night, Lord. I pray, God, there's many more out there lost, Lord, and there's so many sickness, God. Just help us all, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for saving us, God. And these, Lord, that's bowed in this altar, Lord, if there's unspoken prayer requests, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just intervene, open the heart up and look, Lord, and Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that's just lost and wandering around in the world. Lord, that you would just help them, God, to find you, Lord, and they would one day come to you, God, like we did. Lord, I pray there's so many astray right now, Lord. I just pray that you'd just intervene on it, Lord, and we could have a great revival, Lord, and wake this world up. God, I know you are in charge, and I know the power you have, Lord, and you showed on us, Lord, that we can never be nothing without you. I just thank you, Lord, again for this church, Lord, and I pray for John Dale, Lord. You'd get a hold of him, Lord, and just let him reach the throne, Lord, in that book, Lord, and just preach to us, Lord, like we've never been preached to. And God, I pray that you just help each church member, Lord, that's in here. Lord, I pray for those sick again, Lord. I pray that you'd touch them, Lord. Just intervene, Lord, right now, that healing power, Lord, that we believe in so much of the healing, Lord. And I know, Lord, you touch us, Lord, and touch this meeting tonight. God, that we just put ourselves out of the way, take off our worldly shoes outside, Lord, and put the holy shoes on tonight, Lord, where we could really worship you like we need to. Lord, I pray and touch. And Lord, you just have your way tonight in this service. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Amen.
Will, let's all just stand, page 362.
depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Holy Spirit, bear witness and point to the cross with all its might. Holy Spirit, nearer, dear blessed Lord, hear Thy precious pleading sigh.
Brother Samuel Wood, would you pray over the mission offering, please? This man Death, looking forward to hearing that. You come on over, Brother John, and preach whatever's on your heart.
I asked him if him and Bobby was still married. I knew she wasn't here. I'm glad to see Ray and Charlene still married. Amen. She's got many crowns waiting on her in heaven. I promise you that. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here with you tonight. And a special time to come back to Merville and be with people that I love and cherish. And I was at Brother Levi's church last Sunday, James Ransom's church, that he pastored for so many years and still had a lot of the testimony of James Ransom in that church. And I was at Brother Levi's and I was preaching, and I was somewhere Murrayville came up during my preaching, and I told him this, and you can ask him, or you could listen to the my time at Murrayville, the 22 years that I spent here. I feel that was the best 22 years of my life. And thank you. You know what I've got in my right pocket? A case knife. I ain't giving it to you. No. Boy, he looked like I was about to give it to him. I know that's his name, right? Case. Amen. I might give it to you after service. I'll pray about it, okay? But I feel like the time that I did spend here at Merville were 22 years, the best 22 years of my life, because I grew so much. Y'all prayed for me, and I grew so much as a child of God, and benefited so dearly because of being here at this church for those years. And I count it an honor to be back tonight. A little something on my heart tonight from the Word of God out of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 11 tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Sir, muted. Hey, there's Josh up there. Amen. Is that Aniston?
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Amen. Luke chapter number 11 tonight. I do appreciate Brother Adam calling me, and I was surprised and understand him having to go out to Texas, and I count it an honor to stand here in his pulpit, just kind of an honor to be here, period. Get my age, you're glad to be anywhere. Amen. Luke chapter number 11, if you're able and willing tonight to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Luke chapter number 11, I know this is midweek service. Midweek service. How did we get these services? You study any amount of history and you'll find out that whenever America was growing and settlements were being formed, they would begin a town and they would build a church right in the center of that town. Settlers would settle all around it. Businesses would blossom within around the town square. And a town or a settlement would be born. But the settlers were mostly farmers, and they were ranchers. And they depended solely on nature. And they wanted to honor the Lord, and they would have Sunday services. But they realized quickly that they needed to pray more, and they needed to have services even more. So they started a midweek service, and they called it midweek prayer service. And they didn't have irrigation systems. All they had back then was God. All they had back then was God. And that was all they needed. And all they could do was get together and pray. And they started midweek prayer services to pray for rain, to pray over the crops, to pray God's blessings upon their settlement. And that's how we're here tonight, midweek prayer service. And I want you to look with me and watch it closely. We're going to read a goodly portion of Scripture. I say a goodly portion. We're going to read 13 verses. It's not really that much, but there's so much packed into these verses. In verse number 1, the Word of God reads like this. And it came to pass. Old saint of God said that was her favorite phrase in all of the Word of God. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I've nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, a big word which just simply means pressing solicitation or an urgent request. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Let's read it again. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want to leave off reading there, and I'm interested in especially the very first few verses of our text, and I want to read it again, just one verse, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I want to take this verse coupled with all of the others and preach just for maybe 4 or 5 hours on a subject. I'm going to entitle it this, Praying to Pray. Praying. Pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, tonight as we gather together in the wonderful holy name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we love you so much. Lord, it's such an honor to be able to gather in Jesus' name. And Lord, to gather with these people is a special time in my life and in my heart. And I pray that, Lord, that you would please touch me and give me the liberty of the Spirit of God to be able to benefit these precious people. I pray, the Lord, that you'd give me a clean heart, a right spirit about me, the utterance, the unction, the understanding that'll be needed through the course of this evening together. But Lord, not just for me. I pray for every person in this room. I pray, God, that you would move, that you would touch in a special way, that you would minister to every heart that's in this room. And I pray, God, that you'd make yourself so big right now in all of our lives that we would leave this place saying, God was there. God was there. God was there. And Father, may the will of Christ be accomplished at Merville Baptist Church as it is in heaven. We'll thank you and praise you for everything that you'll do in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. I was getting ready to leave the house, and I went up to my upper room to spend a little time in prayer. And before I left, I read through my text again and was just wanting Just wanting God to show me anything else maybe that I've not noticed. And I was surprised that the way that this chapter started and the way that this passage ended, I was really shocked at how the Lord Jesus Christ ended this talk about prayer. They began by asking the Lord to teach them to pray. And he ends it with a statement about the Holy Spirit. He said, those of you that are a father, if your son came up and asked this, would you give that? This, would you give that? And then he says this, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father of Heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Summed up all that he was talking about by talking about us being filled with the Spirit of God. Makes me think that without the Spirit of God filling us, that we're just not really going to pray as we should. If there's one area of all of our lives, how many of you in this room are saved? Say amen. If there's one area in all of our lives that the world, the flesh, and the devil will fight, it is in this arena of prayer. He will fight it. He will get you too busy. The world will get you too distracted. The flesh will tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. Prayer is one of those things in a Christian life that we cannot ignore or underestimate. It is so very important in the life of the child of God. William Booth said this, the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, I had rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. In his book, All the Prayers in the Bible, Herbert Lockyer wrote these words. He said, exclusive to the Psalms, the Bible records no less than 650 prayers, of which no less than 450 have recorded answers. I believe from that, I just believe from what I know and from the Word of God, that God answers our prayers. God is interested in our prayers, and God hears our prayers, and God will answer our prayers. He's not going to make a mockery of us in this subject of prayer. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Our God is a prayer answering God. And I just want to encourage you in this matter of prayer. I know from what I've been hearing, especially of late, there's a lot of need for prayers in this assembly of people. We need to be busy about prayer. I got to noticing in this first verse some things in particular, and I don't want to go into all the mechanics of prayers, and we can get very mechanical when it comes to prayer at times. We can get so hurried, we just get down and say a few words and take off and get very mechanical in it. We can get mechanical by thinking, well, I've got to get a little prayer in right here, and we just go through something. But prayer is much deeper than that. It's much more meaningful than just a little few words and we're gone about our day. Prayer is the essential element of our Christian walk in life. I've gotten into my 70s now. And I've found out in my 70s that the older years are years of learning how to cope and adjust to the new normal of your life. Things that you used to could do, you can't do anymore. Things that you used to like, you hate now. And things that you used to want to do make you sick now. And it's just a different life being old. And people zip lining and bungee jumping. I'm just happy that I got my britches on without falling down. Can I get a witness right there? Old age is just a different, it's a different life. Well, I've found out that the Christian life is a life of learning. It's a life that's a continue. You never quit learning what it means to be a child of God. You don't arrive. You don't get to a point and you say, well, I've got this. I know how to do this now, and I'm able to do this. I know when to say amen. I know when to do this. The Christian life is so much bigger than that, so much deeper and broader and greater than that. It's not confined to just a little 1, 2, 3, and that's it. It's a life of learning, and the disciples are watching Jesus pray. He's stolen away for a little bit, and he's been in a certain place, and he's been praying. And it said, and when he ceased, is one of the disciples, we don't know which one, came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. I noticed some things about that prayer request. They were praying to pray. They were interested in this thing called prayer. They realized they needed to know more about it. They realized that what they'd heard him, they didn't want to just be spectators listening or someone else. They wanted to surrender their lives to this thought of prayer. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to do it. He goes into this account and he uses some illustrations about the necessity of prayer, and he first relates it about being a matter of a relationship. He said, when you pray, say. And he said, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father. You see, prayer's a relationship, and your prayer life reflects your relationship with your Heavenly Father. How's your prayer life? Praying to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. I've got a wife that I love. This coming February will be 50 years of us being married together. This year we've enjoyed each other more than we've ever enjoyed each other. It gets better and better and better, and there's been things come up in front of us and decisions that needed to be made, and me being the head of the home, I had to be sure that I knew the will of God and what God would have us to do, and don't want to do anything to disappoint her or do any kind of harm or damage to her life. I want to care for. I want to be a good husband. And to be a good husband, I must be a husband of prayer. To be a good anything, a good child of God, we must be people of prayer. Prayer is so very important in all of our lives. We all get to a point where we kind of go through some motions with it. And I'm here tonight to try to encourage you just to reignite that prayer life that maybe you once had. or begin a prayer life that maybe you've never really began in your Christian walk. Because I've been saved since 1982. And I thank God. I thank God for every time that I've been able to get down on my knees and knowing that my God was listening to what I had to say. And I've had to pray over some things that I never dreamed that would be a part of my life. I've had to pray over some situations that I never thought that I would ever see as part of my life and what things go on in my life. And I'm so thankful to know tonight that we've got access to God Almighty. There's a throne in heaven, and our God is sitting on that throne, and His ear is open under the prayers of His people. I say thank God tonight for our God, who is a prayer-answering God tonight. Amen and amen. There was something about the life of Jesus and His praying that interested, caught, and captivated the interest of these disciples. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They were praying to pray. Have you ever asked the Lord to teach you to pray? I looked up in Webster's 1828 dictionary just to get a feel for the word prayer. And it means, according to that dictionary, to ask with earnestness or zeal, as for a favor, or for something desirable, to entreat, to supplicate. Teach me to pray. Lord, help me to be a person of prayer. I want to notice three things out of this text, this verse number one tonight. I want us to notice, number one, the personal aspect of prayer. The personal aspect of prayer. It said, and as He was praying, they were certainly coming to the right person to ask to learn how to pray. I remember when I first got saved. I know I've shared this down through the years. I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't a church-going person. I was 29 years old, didn't own a Bible, didn't go to church. I was very much a sinner. And I came out of that life, and I walked into a church on a Sunday morning, went back on a Sunday night. And I don't know if you remember, but it was November the 21st, 1982. I asked Jesus into my heart. Had to go buy a Bible, and I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about prayer. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God. And I began learning, and I would watch that preacher get up behind that pulpit and begin to preach, and he would pour his heart and his soul into what he was giving. And then he would give an invitation at the end. And I would watch this one old man. His name was Brother Carlton Kelly. And Brother Carlton Kelly, you could tell he was a hard-working man. His hands were rough and gruff and calloused all over. And you could tell he would just worked hard with his hands. And every invitation, Brother Kelly would lift himself up out of his seat, and he would begin his walk down to the altar, and he was slow in his steps, but he would finally make it to the altar, and he would bow his knees, and he would just lean over there and start talking to the Lord. And at first, me being a newbie and all like that, I thought, this man's got a lot of problems. This man's got a lot of issues. Because, I mean, every time an invitation was given, there was Brother Kelly. And I made up my mind one day. I said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to bow beside him. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to learn some things. I'm going to see what he's up to.
I went down there and I leant down next to him and I heard him say, "Dear Lord, I sure do love you. And I thank you for being the God that you are. And Lord, I wish you, Lord, would you please," and my skin started crawling when he said this. He said, "Lord, would you please just humble me that I might be the servant that I need to be for you." And I've learned some things from Brother Kelly. I learned the importance of prayer, and we need to be people of prayer. I go across this upper region, and I go in church after church after church, and I've noticed some of them don't even give an altar call anymore. The altars, they're dry, they're dusty, there's nothing going on. Murville, keep the altars hot, keep them busy with your prayers, keep them in use. Come to the altar and thank God we've got an altar with God. The altars of prayer will never be any good until you use the altar. You. I did come to preach to you tonight. I'm not preaching at Central Baptist. I'm not at First Baptist. I'm preaching to you. I go to cardiac rehab after this little ordeal I just had with my heart. I go to cardiac rehab and I've become like the pastor of cardiac rehab. Probably got 10, 12 people there, and we'll talk about different situations. And there's one lady there, I'm not going to say her name. I'm just not going to say her name. But we were sitting and talking the other day, and it was Monday of this week, and she asked about our services that I preached Sunday over there at Brother Levi's church. Boy, we had services. Boy, I'm telling you what, those altars filled up that morning. They just stayed at those altars and prayed, and same thing again that night. It was plenty of liberty. God was there, and God was ministering and moving, and I told her that, and she said, "They did what?" I said, the altars filled up. She said, "The only time anybody goes forward in our church is if they're going to join the church." She said, "I've not seen anything like that in years. It's a shame where the church has got to today." You know where we're living? We're living in the book of Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, where they say, "We don't need nothing. We're rich. We got everything we need. We don't need nothing." I'm so glad to know that there's still some churches around that are still go to the altar of God, because we need Him now more than we've ever needed Him. I wish I could get a witness right there. We need God. We need God. We need God in the churches again. We need Him. The personal aspect of prayer. They went to the right one. Have you ever asked Jesus to teach you to pray? "Lord, teach me to pray." Have you ever become that interested in prayer that you'll just say, "Lord, teach me to pray"? There's many kinds of prayers mentioned throughout the Word of God. There's intercessory, there's supplications, there's beseeching, there's requesting, there's asking, there's seeking, there's knocking, there's standing in the gap, there's family prayer, there's church prayer, but none of those prayers will ever be prayed until you start praying. The personal aspect. And when he was praying, Jesus was so much a man of prayer. I went through the Gospels and just looked at the different times that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would pray. And most of the times when you read about prayer in the Gospels, it is Jesus praying. And He would get alone by Himself. He would get alone in the wilderness. He would go up into a high mountain right by Himself. He would just go and get along. And He saw the need for prayer when he was down. Do you know what he's doing tonight? Do you know what Jesus Christ is doing tonight? He's praying for us. He's praying. He's making intercession for us. It's that important. He's having to pray for us. We don't know what we need to pray for, but he does, and he makes intercession for the saints of God. Thank God we've got a high priest praying on our behalf tonight. That's how important prayer is, the personal aspect of prayer. I want to quickly notice the second thing, the place ascribed to prayer. Notice what it says, and as he was praying in a certain place. A certain place. Jesus began his ministry, and his first main message is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he said these words. He said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now listen to him. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." And here's the hardest part of prayer. And he said, "And when thou hast shut thy door." That's the hardest part of prayer. You get in there to pray, and everything in the world will come up. Shutting that door, getting along with God, and getting along with Him, and just getting real with Him. Have you ever prayed, and when you got done praying, you don't even know what you've said? Been there, done that, got many of those t-shirts. But shutting that door, when I pastored down in Waycross, had a lady in our church, one of the godliest women, really going through some trials now. Her name is June Weathersby. She would literally go in a closet and shut that door and get along with God inside of that closet. And did you know that prayer has no limits on it? It has no age limits. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for the adults of the church. This matter of prayer is for the children. It's for the teenagers. It's for the male and the female. It has no intellectual boundaries to it. It's not according to your education. It's nothing like that. This matter of prayer is not racial limited. It's not what color your skin is. Prayer is the prayer of faith that God understands. God hears when we pray. The place. I've prayed in my vehicle. I've prayed in my upper room. I've prayed in hospitals. I've prayed in churches. I've prayed on mountains. I've prayed in valleys. I've prayed in crowds. I've prayed in small groups. I've prayed alone. And all of those places are good. But every child of God needs a special place of prayer. A special place where you just go. That's where I go. That's where I go to get along with God. Y'all know I've got an upper room and I got a chair in there, and that's where I go. That's where I go. And I go there to talk to Him. Get along with my God and talk to Him about things in my heart. Every child of God has got to have a place of prayer. And as he was praying in a certain place, that place, when you really get serious, when he begins teaching you to pray, you'll find that place in your life. There's me and Debbie, will, my mom's up in Tennessee right now, and Deb and I's got the house to ourselves right now, and we'll do lunch together, supper, whatever, and we'll pray, and just taking her hand, praying at a meal table, and knowing some of the things that she's been going through lately, taking my wife's hand and saying, "Lord, be with my wife and touch her in this, whatever the situation is." Her just hearing me call out her name, that just bonds us together even more. But having that special place of prayer where I go to and just get along with God, Brother Ron. I couldn't make it in the Christian life without it. I couldn't face some of the things that I faced in life without that special place. That place. But then, finally, and we're coming in. I got the landing gear down. That power that was acquired. And as he was praying in a certain place, listen to what it says, when he ceased. He got done praying. You read the rest of the chapter, you know what he did? He cast out devils. He taught the disciples how to pray. He faced mockery. The Pharisees tried to trap him. He was ready for his day. You know why? Because he started by prayer. Said when he ceased, the disciples came immediately to him. "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." I know I've said this, and back when Mom lived down in Waycross, the old home place where I was raised, we went by it. We were down. I preached down in Blackshear, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago. And we rode over to Waycross, and we rode by the old home place and see the disrepair that it's in, broke our heart. I sent pictures to my sister, and I told her, I said, "Don't you dare show Mama these pictures. It was bad." But I'd go, when Mom still lived down there, I'd be sitting in the kitchen, had a dining room table in the kitchen, refrigerator sitting right there, and on the side of the refrigerator was one of those magnet things. And on that magnet it said, "When we work, we work. When we pray, God works." When we work, but when we pray, God works. God works mightily. I know that the church, Miss Megan, me and Debbie hadn't failed to call your name out. Brother Chris, we're praying. We're praying big and trusting God. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows. If it wasn't that God sitting out there on that throne, we'd all be mental. Every one of us in this room have been through enough to knock every one of us out of this thing. And it hadn't it been for prayer and the opportunity to go and just bow our knees before him, where would we be? Julie's going to come to the piano. I've asked her to play "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour. When's the last time you just spent time in prayer? Just some questions at the end. Just challenging questions. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Just challenging When's the last time you just really got along with God? Just prayed. Just bore your heart out to Him and said, God, this is where I'm at. Have you ever asked the Lord to teach you to pray? Have you ever asked Jesus, said, Lord, would you teach me? You see, every one of us in here, we got certain gifts. Brother Terry's got the gift of leading singing, does a tremendous job at that, leads a choir. I don't even know how he does all that. This is a gift of God. Julie over there playing that piano. Sister Kim can play piano. Heard you play, tear the thing up. I call it tickling the key, the ivories. Tickle them ivories, wonderful. And gifted. I can't do that. There's certain gifts that I don't have. But there's one thing that every one of us in this room can do. We can pray. From the youngest to the oldest, we can pray. We can pray. I'd like to gather Miss Megan down here. Can you see? Are you able to? And get some of the ladies just to come and gather around her and pray. 2 weeks out of the hospital. She needs people to gather around with her and pray. She's coming. I want us to all stand tonight, gather around these altars, and let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray like we've